So I read on Facebook the other day. So our message this morning, I think, is timely in a couple of ways. I'll just start by saying that. It's timely in that we just had a Veterans Day just 2 days ago. And it's timely because I think of maybe the unsettledness that many might have from the results of the election on Tuesday. Maybe you don't have an unsettled spirit, but I can tell you that I for sure do. And so I think the sermon this morning will kind of touch on both of those things a little bit. And more so what our responsibility, I think, is. And I think it's a reminder, even more so, of what our responsibility is and what we need to do as followers of Jesus Christ, as Christians. I read on Facebook, another pastor friend of mine posted this, and I thought, you know, it is so true. And what he wrote is, he said, we already know that people are wicked, and that's why we preach the gospel. And I thought to myself, that is so true. We are wicked. We are sinful, but it's more so a reminder of why we do what we do, why we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think, at least for me, reminded earlier in the week of why we need to stay focused on preaching the gospel and why that needs to be our focus. I will say this. I believe for me it was disappointing, that the results of the election in some weird way were prophecy fulfilled. Because Scripture is very clear that truth will become lies and lies will become truth, and the two will become very muddied and unclear. And I think that we are seeing that in great ways. So I'll just preface the sermon with those words. At 5 a.m. in the morning on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, in a railroad car of Compiègne, France, the armistice was signed, which ended World War I. This day was first known as Armistice Day. Later it was changed to Veterans Day, the day that we just remembered 2 days ago. It's a day that has been set aside to honor all veterans, both living and who have gone on before us, who have served in the military of the United States of America. And these men and women truly are heroes. It's been said, and it is so true today, it is the veteran, not the reporter, who has given us the freedom of press. It is the veteran, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to assemble. It is the veteran and not the politician who has given us the right to vote. It is the veteran and not the preacher who has given us the freedom of religion. We are just 2 days past Veterans Day, as I said, and I thought it appropriate to do two things. Honor our veterans by considering the words of one of the greatest soldiers of the cross of all time, and then honoring the heroes of our faith. The passage of Scripture that we're going to read today was written by a man who was a veteran in the army of the Lord. The Apostle Paul fought many battles. These battles had been fought for the Lord Jesus Christ. He no doubt bore the scars from these fights. He had been beaten, he had been whipped, he had been stoned throughout his years of ministry. And I'm sure that he had carried plenty of emotional scars as well. You can't possibly live the life that he lived and been treated the way that he had been treated and not have some form of emotional scars to go along with his physical scars for doing battle for the Lord. The Apostle Paul preached for over 30 years before he was martyred at the hands of Nero, the Roman emperor. As I said, he was a veteran of the army of the Lord. He was nearing the end of his life, and he knew it. And he wanted to pass on some advice down to young Timothy. And that's what I think our reminder this morning is our obligation, our duty to pass down our faith to the generations that follow. And that's what Paul wanted to do. He knew his days were coming to an end, and he knew that he had to pass down some of his advice to his apprentice, Timothy, a young recruit in the army of the Lord, a young soldier preparing for battle. Our text this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And this is what it says. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. And then in verse 3, endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. He wants to please his commanding officer. Several things that I want to consider about that text, 5 to be exact. Number 1, Paul says to his young recruit to be strong. To be strong. He's not talking about in physical strength. Now that no doubt would be the requirement for a U.S. soldier to be strong physically. But it's not a requirement to serve in the army of the Lord. To be honest, I've heard horror stories of boot camp and the strength that it takes to endure it. Boot camp is meant to strengthen both physically and mentally the U.S. soldier. It's not a requirement to serve the Lord, though, to be strong in the Lord's army. It's also not a requirement of the Lord's to serve in the Lord's army to be academically strong. To move up in ranks of the military, you have to be educated and intelligent, though. But that's not a requirement in the military, in the Lord's military, in the Lord's army. Paul says to Timothy here to be strong. But what does he tell him to be strong in? He tells him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what do we know grace is? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. So Paul is telling Timothy, be strong in the unmerited favor of God. We sing the song Amazing Grace. We sing about how amazing grace really is. God's grace, his unmerited favor, is what is with us throughout every single stage of our life. Throughout every battle that we face, throughout every trial that comes along, throughout every temptation that crosses our path, God's grace is there for the asking. And Paul tells Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Just like every soldier needs the backing and the support of the United States government to do their job, we as Christian soldiers fighting in the army of the law, in the army of the Lord, have the backing of the supreme God who created the universe. If that doesn't give us some encouragement, if that doesn't give us some oomph for the fight, I don't know what does, that we have the backing of the supreme creator of the universe as we go forward in this battle. We have his grace. Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in the Lord. God's grace comes from no other source. It doesn't come from positive thinking. It doesn't come from Buddha or Allah. Paul tells Timothy it is in Christ Jesus. So many in this world search for strength within themselves. And they search for wisdom within themselves. And they will never find it, because we only find strength in Jesus Christ. Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. Number two, Paul tells Timothy to commit. To commit. Now, commit can mean several things. But in this context, this is the way Paul uses it, or what he means by it in this context. To give over something to another for care, protection, or performance. To give as a trust to someone. Paul was committed to get passing down his legacy to his apprentice, Timothy. To pass down his faith. To pass down his knowledge to Timothy. After reading these definitions, I can give you my definition. My definition in this context is simply this. Just pass it on. Just pass it on. We have an obligation, as I said, to pass down our faith. When you read through the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, you can see all the advice and all the information, teaching, and most importantly, love that Paul had given to Timothy. Paul had given Timothy all that he knew, all that he had. He thought of Timothy like a son. The text even starts out, "You then, my son." I would imagine that Paul probably longed for the day that he and Timothy could sit down along the streets of gold and just kind of talk, and just kind of remember, and just kind of reflect. Who knows? They might even be doing that today. They might even be doing that at this moment, sharing the stories. Do you remember when? Do you remember when the Lord did this? Do you remember when I was here and the Lord came through and did this for us? You know, other great heroes of the faith have done the same. We have great heroes of the faith in the sanctuary today. Great soldiers of the cross. Great men and women who have served the Lord, who have passed on their knowledge of the Scriptures to others. Great saints of God and soldiers in the army of the Lord who have shared their testimonies of all the great things that God has done in their life. And I'm sure that you could share great testimonies of all the things that God has done in your life to those who come behind you. They have passed on His grace to so many. And I can tell you personally that I've been even the recipient from some of these in the past 11 years from people right here in this sanctuary. Great soldiers who have gone on and who have made such an impact on my own life. And no doubt you have those people in your own life that have gone on that have made an impact on your life too. In fact, I bet you could quickly name just a few without even thinking much about it. They've passed on God's grace to you. They've passed on God's grace to us. They've passed on God's grace to this church. And that's what a good soldier of the cross does. Now, I don't consider myself to be that old. I'm 52 years old, and maybe a couple hundred years ago that was considered to be old. But now in today's standards, I'm just a middle-aged man. I hope that I have a lot of years left, but I suppose only God knows. But I want to tell you something. The things that I have learned these 50 years, I want to pass them on. I want to pass on what I have learned about the Lord. I want to pass on my testimony. I want to pass on all that the Lord has done for me to those that I have the opportunity, to my own daughter, to those that are coming behind me. I want to pass those things on. Now, I'm certainly not the strongest, nor am I the smartest, but I want to do my best to commit to others what others have committed to me. I want to do my best to commit to others just as Paul committed to Timothy. I want to pass on the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that your desire is to do the same. Number three, it says to endure. Verse 3 says, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now I doubt there is a soldier, either past or present, that would ever say that it was easy to serve in the military. I bet there's not a single one of them that would ever say it was easy. And I'm not speaking from experience, but military life can be really hard. And I bet if I was to ask any veteran, either past that's gone on before us that are still living, what is the hardest thing you have ever done? I'm sure that they would say serving in the military is one of the hardest things they have ever done. Some veterans spent days without food and water. In some extreme cases, some were captured, some were tortured. In other cases, some faced hand-to-hand combat. But through it all, they endured, they overcame, they won, they were victorious. We, as soldiers of the cross, may be called upon to endure hardships, just as many have in the past. Now, we know how many disciples there were, right? 12. Of all of the disciples, John was the only one to die a natural death. But even so, he still faced great persecution and was exiled on the island of Patmos. Missionaries even today face great hardships on the mission field. You know what? We're in a mission field. We're living in a mission field. The mission field is all around us. And many are facing great hardships on that mission field. Joe Scriven was a missionary from Ireland to Canada. And he was working among the Iroquois Indians. He was joined by his fiancée, who was also from Ireland. Just before the wedding, she was killed in an ice accident. Joe buried her with his own hands and a broken heart. A year later, in a letter to his mother, he reflected these words: "What a friend we have in Jesus, our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should ever be discouraged. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Joe was on the road to triumph, even though there were times when the road was tough, even when the road was rough. The fourth thing that I see here, and I read in verse 4. Let me read verse 4 again. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He must please his commanding officer. In verse 4, the old veteran of the cross gives Timothy another piece of advice, and it is to stay focused. You understand what he's saying here? He's saying, stay focused. Focused. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Don't let things distract you. If we move forward in the book, or if we look in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, I love what Paul tells the church in Philippi. He says these words, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." In verse 17, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for an example." Verse 14 is a familiar one to all of us. Paul says that he himself presses toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. He keeps his eye on the goal. He stays focused on the calling. He knows what he is called to do. He knows what God set him to do, and he stays focused. He doesn't let the things on the ground distract him. That is a great verse. But I want us to look at the next three verses as well. Verse 15 says that those who are mature need to be the same way. Verse 16, he says, we need to walk by the same rule as he does. And then in verse 17, if you see someone with the same idea as him, let them, along with Paul, be an example. I believe that this has got to be one of the best pieces of it that Paul has given to us today. It is so easy for us to get sidetracked. It is so easy for us to be derailed. Paul says to us, stay focused. The message is the cross, and the message is Christ crucified. Forget about everything else that's going on around us. Forget about the evil you see around us. Stay focused on the message, and the message is the cross, and Christ crucified. That is our job. That is our responsibility, and that's what we are to do as soldiers in the Lord's army, is stay focused. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. There's going to be a lot of things that will get you distracted. There's going to be a lot of things that will trip you up, but don't lose sight of the message, and the message of the cross in Christ crucified. Amen? As I said, the best piece of advice that Paul gives to us, just as a soldier in the army of the United States must be on guard against those things that would distract him or her. If you think about the U.S. soldier, they must stay focused on the war at hand. They must stay focused on the job at hand and not be distracted. We as Christians must be on guard against those things that might come up to distract us from our job and our duty to the Commander-in-Chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our enemy, the devil, is a master, and he's really good at what he does, at bringing up things in our life to set our eyes off the goal. He is really good. He is a manipulator, and he brings things in our life that will set us off course, and he's really good at it, but we must stay focused. In chapter 4 of the same book, Paul is alone in prison. He's getting ready to face the executioner's block, and in his time of greatest need, he only has Luke there with him. And in verse 10 is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. It says, "Envision this with me. They're hungry and cold, preparing for death. And in this way it says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." He says, Demas loved this present world, and he forsaken me. Paul says not to let the things of this world entangle you. Stay focused and do not be like Demas. Lastly, we have principle number 5, and that is the goal. That is the goal. Lastly, Paul tells us the goal, and that is found in verse 4, and that is to please the commander. To please the commander. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. The American soldier takes their right hand and has sworn this oath. I, fill in the blank, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear the true faith and allegiance to the same, and that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over me, according to the regulations and the uniform code of the military justice. So help me God. That's what the U.S. soldier says. There is only one supreme commander over all the branches of the United States Army. It's the President of the United States. And every single soldier, from the highest ranking enlisted man to the highest ranking officer, has sworn an oath to obey his orders. Whether you like it or not, you made an oath to do that. Man, at times that has to be hard. I have to believe that it has to be hard sometimes to obey the commands of the President of the United States. But it's part of what being in the military of the United States of America means. But you know what? As soldiers of the cross, we too need to raise our right hand. We need to recite the Great Commission and then wait with instruction from the Great Commander how we are to achieve the goal. We already know the mission we've been given, and that is the Great Commission. And we must raise our right hand and make an oath to the Supreme Creator of the universe, to the God, to the one true King, and say, yes, we affirm our commitment to the Great Commission, and we await your instruction on how to fulfill it. Paul tells Timothy here to do all the things that are listed above, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to commit to the gospel to others, to endure hardship, and to stay focused. Why? That we may please him who hath chosen us to be his soldier. So that we may please the one who has called us. The supreme creator of this universe. God is the commander in chief. Jesus tells us in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone would hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will eat with him and he with me. We have been called into the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us in John 12:32 that he is drawing all men to him. Now we have a choice to make. Now you and I have a choice to make. What do we do with that call? You've been given an invitation. And what do you have to do anytime you have been given an invitation? You have a choice to make. You can say, yes, I'll be there, or no, I'm declining. The Lord extends an invitation to us. What are you going to do? Ecclesiastes 12:13 says this, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. As you sit here today, as I stand here today, we've been called into the army of the Lord. It is our duty to obey the commanding officer, the supreme creator of the universe. So I ask you, are you strong in the grace that is found in Christ Jesus? Are you committing the gospel to others? Are you committed to sharing the gospel to others? To a world that desperately needs it. To a wicked world that desperately needs it. Are you enduring the hardships, or are you cowering in retreat mode? Are you staying focused on the things that really is important, or are you allowing the distractions of the enemy to derail you? Finally, are you answering the call of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you're not answering the call of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're choosing the other side. There's only two sides. I'll close with this, a couple of illustrations. During the U.S. Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was the commander-in-chief of the United Forces. It was a great burden knowing that his orders would put many lives at jeopardy. One morning, he met with a group of ministers for prayer breakfast. The different ministers spoke about the different needs that they must pray for. And one of them said this, "Mr. President, let us pray that God is on our side." And Lincoln's response was probably one of the greatest of all times. And he said, "No, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side." We ask God to join us in our mission when we really ought to be accepting the call to join God in His mission. In 1951, the old veteran soldier, General Douglas MacArthur, gave a speech to the joint session of Congress. And he closed the speech by saying, "Old soldiers never die, they just fade away." And I thought about that old battle-hardened soldier of the cross, the Apostle Paul. There in that Roman cell where he died. But 2,000 years later, his words have not faded away. They are just as powerful for you and I today as they were then. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at the end of the day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing." We don't often read that last part. "Which the Lord, the righteous judge, has given to me that day, and not only to me, but to all them also that love His appearing." We have a lot of work to do. But we have the supreme creator as our commanding officer. And if we are faithful, He will give us instruction as to how we are to fulfill the Great Commission as a church and as individuals, as His soldiers. He will keep us focused. But there's much work to be done. How are we going to pass down our faith? How are we going to commit to the gospel? How are we going to preach the gospel? How are we going to stay focused? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for our veterans. Lord, I thank you for the veterans in this country who have fought for our freedoms, and some who actually paid the ultimate price for our freedoms. More so, Lord, I thank you for the soldiers of the cross, the old veterans like the Apostle Paul. Who passed down his faith to his apprentice Timothy. I thank you for veterans like the Apostle Paul, who endured the hardship, who committed to passing down the gospel, who stayed focused, who accepted the call, and who has encouraged us to do the same. Lord, none of us listening today will probably ever be called to endure the things that Paul endured for the name of Christ. But Lord, I hope that we take the mission and the calling that you have placed on our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ very seriously. And Lord, I pray that we would be open to the ways that you would have us to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And Lord, that we would take the calling to committing to pass down the gospel to those that come behind us very seriously. Lord, may we take our calling to be part of the army of the Lord seriously. May we stay focused. Lord, I pray that we are able to keep the distractions of the enemy at bay so that we can stay focused on the job at hand. So that when our time on earth is done, as the Apostle Paul, we too can say that we have finished our race and we have kept the faith. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Please stand if you are able.